Good morning, 6:37 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Janice Gilley is on vacation this week, so instead we're going to connect with, it's actually kind of perfect timing, because we're going to, gives us a chance to connect with Eric Gilmore. He is the Director of Public Safety, Interim Director of Public Safety for Escambia County. Used to be the Emergency Manager, and of course it's hurricane season, and so we're having him on. He was also on Pep Talk yesterday with Davis filling in for Jenna, so this is a double dip in 24 hours with our Public Safety Director. Eric, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thanks for having me, sir. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. So let's just, I'm going to give you kind of the stage. Let me ask the question that is the easy question, I guess. Pretend I don't know anything and pretend there are people in the audience who just moved here. Okay. What do they need to know? Because it's not like it's different from the people who've been here for 5 years, okay? But what do they need to know? What do they need to do to be ready for the possibility of a serious storm, even a hurricane, that might hit us in Pensacola this year, if it did?
Good question. So, first and foremost, you know, you hear about NOAA and those guys saying that we're going to have above-average season. I want everybody to remember that whether it's above-average, below-average, average, it just takes one storm. So be ready. Anyway, we can have a storm anytime during a 6 month period, and possibly even sometimes in May. So everybody needs to be prepared. And when we talk about preparedness, we're talking about.
By the way, Eric, let me pause you for a second. I was telling him the exact same thing yesterday, and I was telling him exactly that point, that if there were one storm in the year, but it hit us, that's all that we need to know. And if there's 50 storms and they all miss us, well, you know that it's that you got to be prepared. Like there's going to be one here. Exactly right. Go ahead, sir.
No, you're absolutely right. I need everybody to understand that, because everybody waits for those, you know, the forecast to come out, and they go, oh, it's going to be busy this year, and then they react off that. No, you be ready. It's a six-month cycle, six-month period, and you need to be ready at any time. So have your checklist ready. Make sure you have your non-perishable food items. You have your water, 1 gallon, 1 gallon of water per person per day. Make sure you have your medications ready to go. 30-day supply, you can get those if we go under an evacuation order. Make sure you have things for your kids, battery-powered radio. We do lose power during storms. Even a small storm can knock the power out for a couple of days. So to be able to communicate or get communication from the media, from you guys, broadcast radio, your cell phones go dead. You're going to have power to charge those things. You're going to have power for your TV. But a battery-powered radio is a great way to keep and communicate and find out what's going on in the community as far as what resources are out there for you to tap into. So make sure you have your battery powered radio, your battery powered flashlight, because you expect to be in the dark. Candles are not so good of a one. They give off a lot of heat. We're in the summer months, it gets hot, and it's a fire hazard. So have your flashlights and everything ready. As I said, your medications. Don't forget your pets. Make sure you got everything ready for your pets. Your kids, make sure you have something for them to do. Power's out, Xbox doesn't work. Have some activities for those guys to do, and stay a little busy and keep mind off of it. Check your insurance policies. One of the biggest things people don't readily do, make sure you have enough coverage to build back. You know, do that checkup now with your insurance agent. Well, we saw during Michael and several other storms that people had coverage, but they didn't have enough coverage to build back when they lost everything. So now they're stuck holding the bag or trying to make up the difference between what they covered and what they didn't cover. So do a checkup on your insurance policy. The three things we've been teaching.
And by the way, just to pause you for a second, Eric, just to pause you for a second. I just tell you, the vivid note about that, about the build back insurance levels, is, as you know, my wife and I, we go bicycling every weekend. And we bike all around both counties. And I will tell you, every time that we are biking anywhere near the water, we always find the empty lots. The empty lots from Ivan, where clearly people were not insured to build back, and so those lots still to this day are vacant because Ivan came in. And, of course, Ivan was a once-in-a-while storm, but you never know when a once-in-a-while storm is going to come. Go ahead, sir.
No, that's absolutely, absolutely correct. So if you're doing those things, you should be good to go. But for the people who don't know anything about it and are absolutely new to the area, once you get your checklist done, you can go to Escambia, BeReadyEscambia.com. We've got some great checklists right there to get you started. You can also sign up for Alert Escambia alerts, weather alerts when we start having inclement weather, not only hurricanes, but inclement weather. So sign up for those things. But the three things we really, really, really want you to understand is, one, know your zone. Are you in a flood-prone zone? Are you in a storm surge zone? So go to our website to know your zone. You can type in your address. It's real interactive. You can put in the A, B, C, D, E zones and see how much water will inundate your property. We've got a little graphic there that will show you how deep the water potentially get. So know your zone. Know your home. Is your home resilient enough? Are you far enough inland away from, you know, we teach run from the water and hide from the wind. Are you far enough inland? And is your home resilient enough to withstand the winds? Is it newly built? Is it built to code? Has it trees around your area? Are you having any tree issues with the hanging limbs after Sally? You need to take inventory of your property and make sure you don't have any dead trees due to that. That could be a potential. And the last thing is know your plan. Are you going to evacuate? Are you going to go with friends? We're still in COVID. We're still doing COVID protocol, so our shelters will be reduced capacity again. We're trying to honor that. I think this is the last cycle we'll go through, the last season we'll go through a hurricane. Hopefully we'll get enough vaccines out there or get enough immunity out there against the COVID-19, but we are still doing the COVID protocols where we're having to do 60 square foot per person. So our shelter space is going to be limited again.
You know, one question I think people might have is, okay, so we had Sally. So we lost a lot of trees during Sally. Every neighborhood lost trees during Sally. Somebody might think, okay, whatever trees were going to fall because of a hurricane fell during Sally. Whatever's left, I'm safe. Good or bad assumption?
Bad assumption. If you'll notice these powerful storms we had during the winter months and everything, January, February, and we had that squall line come through, we saw more and more limbs come down. So the tree's damaged. It's already sustained damage from Sally. You probably can't see it unless you see a dead limb hanging or you start seeing it actually not greening up this spring. It's dead at top. The top of it might be dead. It could break off and fall out. So it's trees have sustained damage. It's not visible to you. So don't assume that because Sally came through and took out all the weak trees, we still have some damage, a lot of damaged trees out there that are still susceptible to high winds and even, you know, squall lines that come through and create havoc.
You mentioned the A, B, C, D, E zones, A being the closest to the water, the most prone to flooding. Of course, flooding is the big concern that does the most damage and kills the most people historically. There are new flood maps out, right?
That is correct. There are new flood maps. So we are asking people to, what you thought before, you might be in a C zone. You might be in a B zone now. You might have, the water level might have come up a little higher. So we ask everybody to reevaluate where they are in that A, B, C, D, E zone. So go to the interactive site, see where you're at. Make sure you're not in one of those zones and you're in a safe area.
Very good. We're talking to Eric Gilmore. He is the public safety director, interim public safety director. Gasoline and gasoline storage. People often have the need to store gasoline. Obviously, come hurricane time, people are dumb and they go to the gas stations and we run out, unfortunately. But okay, let's say you want to be smart and store a little bit of gasoline for, you know, whatever purpose, your generator, whatever, or diesel. What's the safe way to do that, especially given that gasoline doesn't last all that long in a jug?
Well, first and foremost, make sure you're putting it in an approved container. We did see during the last run of the gas panic that we had, people were being creative in the containers that they were putting it in because they couldn't go find a gas container. So first and foremost is have the approved container to put the diesel or the gasoline in and then store it, you know, somewhere in a well-ventilated area. I add a stabilizer to it at the beginning of the season. So I'll go get me about 10 gallons, and I'll put it inside, and I'll put a, you know, stable in it. That way it's a fuel additive that will keep the moisture out of it, and it keeps for the six-month period. Then throughout the summer, typically I'll take those 10 gallons, and I'll rotate them through my lawn equipment. I'll put it in my lawnmower and then go replenish that, but I always keep 10 gallons happy. So you can do it multiple ways. Either just put it up if you don't have lawn equipment or a big yard to cut, or just cycle it through your inventory as you're doing your summer chores throughout the summer.
Very good. Switching gears here for just a second, since you are public safety director, that means you oversee fire and EMS as well. And we've got new people coming in, or one's here already, right?
One is here already, yes, sir. He joined us Tuesday, was his first day. And, of course, he spent his whole day downtown orientating.
Is that David Torsell?
Was his first day in the office. That would be David Torsell, our new EMS manager, and we're excited to have him on board. He comes to us from Alachua County. They're a fire-based EMS system down there, but he has a lot of experience in the EMS system, has been doing it for a long time, and he's got some great ideas. Down there, they're not immune to, manpower issues and, holding call issues. So, but he's got some creative ways that we can overcome that. I've had a great discussion with you yesterday. Some ideas we're going to start implementing. And this David's come in and hit the ground running. I mean, day one yesterday, he was making decisions. He's already caught up on where we were. He has been doing his homework his entire time leading up to coming here. So he's going to be exciting to work with, I got to tell you.
And we've also got Jason Catrambone, right?
That is correct. So our new fire chief. So we'll have our new fire chief and our new EMS manager, Jason Catrambone. He starts June 14th. And he's been doing his homework. He's been we've sent him all the SOGs and protocols. He's been reviewing those so that when he gets here in the county, he too can hit the ground running. We've got two great guys coming in. We should coordinate, communicate a lot more efficiently together, and get things going. Start moving Escambia County in a positive. We got a lot of exciting things that's starting to come up. I know, the bad. We get the publicity after holding calls and things of that nature. And I got to tell you, Escambia County's held calls for 20 years. It's just now we've got social media, we've got cell phones that we can take pictures of readily. But we do a very good job of prioritizing those calls holding. So, no one call holds for a 90-minute duration. I just want to clear that up. We say we're holding calls, we're holding. Go ahead.
No. I was going to say when you say you're holding calls, go ahead.
When we say we're holding calls for a period of time. We're not holding any one call for 90 minutes. So during a 90-minute duration, we were holding calls on and off sporadically. And, of course, we're prioritizing during that entire time. Echo is the highest level call than Delta, Charlie, Bravo, Alpha. Alpha being like a sick call or a back pain or a headache. And we prioritize those to make sure we're putting the resources to the immediate need. So while we did hold calls for a 90-minute duration, it was not any one call held for 90 minutes.
You were in a process of triaging resources during that time, not saying no to everybody during that time.
That is correct. That is absolutely correct. If you have an emergent need, you're going to get the resource. That's how we do things. So.
Very good. And also a nice reminder to say, people, the county is hiring across the board. The county is hiring. I mean, if you want to work,
hiring.
the county will find a way for you to do 1, 2, 3, 15 jobs. No problem. Eric Gilmore, he is the interim director of public safety. Eric, thanks for everything that you do to serve the community, to serve our county, keep us safe, and to give us good guidance. I appreciate it, sir.
Andrew, I thank you very much. Thank you.